Yeah, chapter 8, verse 1.
26.
I mean, verse 26. Okay. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, into the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of a great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Esaias the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Amen.
Okay. You may be seated. Pastor Postup will come and pray for us, please.
Bow with me in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the clear testimony of this passage of Scripture. We thank you for including it in the Word of God for us and preserving it so that we may read it this very day. We ask, Lord, that if there are any in this room who are in the same situation as that official of Candace, the Queen of the Ethiopians, perhaps with some attachment to the Scripture but no understanding of what it means, that, Lord, you would bring some person, a man or a woman, alongside them to help them understand. More importantly than that, Lord, we do also pray that the Spirit of God will attend them and cause them to be able to receive with gladness the things of the Spirit of God. And then so doing, Lord, that they will receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and, Lord, then submit themselves to His commands, one of which is to be baptized in water. We do thank you, Lord, for the folks today who have prepared themselves to do that very thing before us. And Lord, help us, I pray, as we watch, to remember, if we have been baptized, the joy of the day when we received Christ and the day after that we were baptized in water. and we obeyed the Lord and His desire. And Lord, for those that are here that have not had this experience in their life, may they, through pastors preaching this morning, clearly understand what our position is about this doctrine of baptism. I ask, Lord, specifically that there will not be one single individual that will walk out of these doors with some kind of fuzzy thinking or their own thoughts about baptism, but they will have their thoughts brought in line with what the Bible teaches. Now, Lord, this morning we pray for those who are not here. We know that many are not. We see that from the number of empty chairs today. We pray, Lord, that You will help them and care for them in the ways that they have need. We ask, Lord, for those especially who we have prayed for many times before, who are not well in body and mind. We ask that You will touch them, especially today. We pray as we go to see them this evening to sing Christmas carols to them, that they will just light up with joy as we fellowship one with one another with them. And Lord, I pray also for those of us who are here today with a burden of heart, a concern, that You will continue to show us that Your grace is sufficient to meet every need. Lord, we thank You for that truth, and that You may strengthen us for all the things that we will face, that there is no temptation that has taken us except such as is common to man. And Lord, may You be glorified in all of these things, that we would have the right attitude, that we would not go around with our face down, but with it held high, in the sense that we know the Creator of the universe, that we know what our hope is, that we're not hopeless like those that are not believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask this morning, Lord, for this testimony in Ann Arbor, that You will keep it strong and sound for Your glory. We pray, Lord, for more people to come to know the Savior, so that not so that this church would grow, but so that the glory that would redound to God our Savior would grow as many people give thanksgiving to God. And Lord, we pray that the missionaries that we support to Jews and to Gentiles far and wide and near will prosper in their work, that You will give them great success, open doors, and no opposition to be able to make progress. We pray You smooth out the rough places for them and make it so that they can make great spiritual progress in their own lives and for the sake of the gospel ministry. We pray, Lord, for the political scene as well. And I pray specifically that while some are concerned about our freedoms in terms of surveillance and all these things with regard to terrorism, that others work night and day to whittle away at our freedom to preach the gospel, to pray, to express ourselves, to say the words "under God" or things like this. And Lord, we pray that You will frustrate the ways and means of the wicked one in these directions, so that we may have continued freedom and peace, so that we may live a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, and that we may have an open door to preach the gospel. Help us, Lord, by reason of use and exercise, to make use of that door that's open for us, that stands open now, lest by lack of use it closes and we have not the opportunities we have today. We ask You these favors again in the name of our Savior and with thanksgiving. Amen.
Out there on the table, there are some days of praise, and I hope that you take one for your own personal devotions and use it. It was very, very helpful this morning. Let me call your attention to it. It spoke about the gathering on the first day of the week. This is why we meet on this day and not yesterday. Yesterday was Shabbat or Sabbath. We come on the first day of the week, and there's a reason for it: the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every time we meet on the first day, we are testifying to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Regretfully, those who meet on a Shabbat or a Saturday have not the joy of remembering our blessed Lord
as a resurrected Savior. That was one thing that was mentioned. The second item was mentioned that there was preaching. I will be preaching this morning, and here in this church, we always have preaching, the Word of God. A third item was mentioned, which I wish we did have. That was the breaking of bread. I wish we could have this every Lord's Day. I've been talking about that for 43 years in this town. I've never been able to get enough people together to meet or to find a time when they would want to meet. We could meet at 8 o'clock in the morning. In Mombasa, we met early in the morning, and we met with people who didn't understand one another. I happened to learn Kiswahili so I could understand what was going on, but others didn't know what was being spoken. But it was a time to meet around the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the breaking of bread. At the end of the article, Henry Morris mentioned, no, it wasn't he, it was some other person, I forgot who that was, but he mentioned 1 Corinthians chapter 16, that on the first day of the week, that people are to set aside something for the Lord's work. I don't know how you do it, how you're paid or whatever, but it's our responsibility on this particular day to speak to our families and say, now we're going to give to the Lord. What you give, how much you give, that's between you and the Lord. But this is a day on which you set it aside. I remember years ago a man who came to our church, came on Wednesdays only, and he was very upset that we didn't take an offering on Wednesday nights. I said, well, if you come in Sunday, you can have the opportunity. Here we take one offering, one opportunity for you to give to the Lord's work, and that's now. And I just trust that you will think about that. It'll be just 4 months from now, and you're going to be asked to find out how much you did give to the Lord. That is, if you fill out the long form, I do. I fill out the long form because I can give up to 50% of my income to the Lord. I don't know how much you give, but I trust that you give generously to the Lord. One brother was telling me just the other day, he says, you know, I keep giving to the Lord and he keeps giving back to me so I can give more. I mentioned a man by the name of Peter Marsh who used to broadcast on the radio out of Detroit. And he said, there's one reason that you want to make money, and that is to be able to give it away. As long as you've got that kind of a desire, and not for greed for yourself, but to give it away to somebody else. And I can assure you that when you give to the Lord, you will be amply reciprocated in ways that you can never conceive. He's promised that. And I want to encourage you. You have from now until the end of this year to give more. We happen to be well taken care of in this church. It's because we've been very careful about the use of the monies. But whatever you can give will be used entirely in a way which is pleasing to the Lord, not only here but overseas. And if you want to designate money to be sent overseas and you want to do it through the church, that's your privilege and right, and we'd be glad to accommodate. May the Lord bless you as you give to the Lord this morning, and give generously and heartily as unto Him. We're going to take the offering right now, and I don't see anybody that's a stranger to us this morning, but we're thankful that you're here, and we just pray that the blessing of the Lord may attend our giving to the Lord. Would you, brethren, come forward, please?
Let's stand and sing, please, the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, all the ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Brother Bill Smith, will you lead us in our prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated, please. Thank you. Hey, Bill. I don't know what happened to the candidates. Yes, sir. Be coming out shortly. Well, Betty has something. I would like to just share this with you, that a brother for whom we've been praying, Brother Stuart Gray, who's a pastor. He's 87 years of age, and apparently the difficulties which rose in his life through Alzheimer's spawned another difficulty with him, so that his food could not be digested, and it was going into his lungs, and there's just nothing that can be done. Apparently, this is a side effect of Alzheimer's with some people. And this is what's happened with him. And so his wife is just sitting in her apartment there in Willow Valley, waiting for her husband to go to be with the Lord. And they said that it would be, he's actually starving to death because the food cannot nourish his body. So we'd appreciate your prayers. Reverend and Mrs. Stuart Gray, with longtime friends. As a matter of fact, when we first went over to Africa, it was arranged that they would take care of our children should something happen to us. And so we've been very close to them, and just appreciate your prayers. The other announcement I'd like to make is that tonight at 5:45 here, we can come early so we can move out and go over to Myers to sing carols. We really need your help. And if you don't come... To have a half a dozen people standing up there is a pitiful display of support. And we need you. And I trust that you will take time to come and participate. We also want to have two groups to go out and to sing after we leave the Myers. So we'd appreciate you coming. Just bundle up and enjoy an opportunity to serve the Lord. That's all. And we trust that you will come in the will of God. All right. Now we're going to eliminate the music ministry and just ask the candidates who are to be baptized to come in and sit at the front of the church, please. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Now, if the children want to be taken out, you want to take them out or leave them here, whichever you want. I'm going to speak for about half an hour on what baptism is all about. All right. Let's have a word of prayer, please. Our Father, we thank Thee and praise Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ and for what He has done for us. Oh, God, we just praise Thee for this remarkable experience we're going to have this morning, to have four of our young people baptized to give testimony to what God has done in their lives. Oh, we thank Thee. And we pray, Lord, that Thou would make this a significant experience in their lives and in ours, that we can remember what God has done for us in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask these favors with much, much thanksgiving in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do so, Lord, from a heart that's just overflowing with gratitude to Thee. Hear us in our prayer, we pray. Amen. To eliminate a long dissertation from this place here, I'm going to be down there. So I wonder if we could get maybe put that one over there, at least for the time being. Let me use that, please. Thank you. Yeah. That'll be fine. Thanks, brother. I have used this material before, but I think it's very appropriate to repeat so that we all have a real understanding of what we're doing this morning and not be misled or misdirected in our thinking. What is so common is that baptism is considered in some churches as a sacrament. And a sacrament, we mean a means of grace. In other words, there is merit in what you do. That's a sacrament. The Roman Catholic Church, for example, has seven sacraments, means of grace. And as far as we're concerned, that just is not true. We don't use the term sacrament. We use the term ordinance. It's an act prescribed by God. In other words, He tells us to do it. And when He tells us to do something, it's our job to do it. I always tell the candidates for baptism, if the Lord told us to run around North Campus 10 times after you've been saved, go and run 10 times, and God would give you the grace to do it. But God didn't ask you to do that. His first act of obedience was to be baptized, but it's an ordinance. It's not a means of grace. There's nothing added to your salvation because of being baptized. We've gone over this very carefully with each of the candidates so that I believe they understand it carefully. I want to be sure that you understand that the words that are used in the New Testament for baptism are two. There's bapto, which are listed in those verses that I gave there, but it means to dip. It's as if you put it in and pull out. Well, that's what you say, well, that's what you do when you baptize. But this one, I-Z-O, in baptizo, is what we use the word, say, baptize. That's the causative. You're causing somebody to go in. Somebody was reminding me the other day that I baptized somebody here, and I did it twice because I think that was Chris Zent, because he had his hair cut short, and I didn't think I had him all in, so I pushed him down again a second time. So he really got baptized. But anyway, it's to immerse. This one means to dip. Bapto. But the one that is used in regard to baptizing people is this one to immerse. You're caused to do that. Now they're going to stand in this water, and we've instructed them, just fall down, that's all. We don't have to push you down, but if you don't go all the way down, we're going to push you in there. We did it in Africa. We used to do it in the ocean, and we wait for the waves to come. And of course, when the waves came, the man put his head up. He didn't want to get hit by the wave, but he pushed it down. to be sure that he's immersed. It's this I-Z-O, which means to cause somebody to be pushed down under the water. Just to remind you of these verses, they're all in there. We read this morning from Acts chapter 8, which is a very clear one. But somebody says, well, why do you believe in immersion? Well, because of these prepositions, in, eis, ana, ek. If they go in or into, or you come up or out of, it seems to me that it's quite obvious that that's what you're doing. I understand that some people believe that people walked into the water ankle deep, and then he went down and picked it in the water, dipped it, and poured it on top of them. It doesn't seem natural. As a matter of fact, in the passage we read this morning, Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and then they came out. Well, if you want to go, they went in to ankle deep or whatever. It doesn't seem reasonable. And we use these prepositions, in, eis, ana, ek, in all these passages. So that's why we refer to the mode of baptism. The mode, M-O-D-E. We use immersion as the mode of baptism. I will grant you that we are not going to quibble with somebody who says, well, I was baptized by sprinkling or by pouring. If he was saved when he was baptized. I have a classic example of a lady, the only one in this town that came to me and said, I was baptized by pouring or springing. I forgot what she said, but she said, I was never immersed. And she heard me preaching about being immersed, and she saw me practicing it. And so she said, I would like to be immersed. Well, she was an adult lady who knew what she was talking about. And she called me after she made her decision and said, no, I can't do it, because that means that I wasn't real and genuine when I first was baptized. I said, well, if you feel that that's the way, that's fine. I have no problems. You were saved and you were baptized subsequent to your salvation, but it wasn't the way we do it. Well, she called me back a few weeks later. She said, I'd like to be immersed. I want to be sure. And then she called me back again. She said, no, I don't want to say that I wasn't real the first time. This went on rather difficult to discern what she was intending to do. But finally, the day before we were having the baptism, or a couple of days before, she said, no, I'm going to go ahead. And the Lord will understand if I did it one, at least I've got both ways. I've got on the head and all the way under. So we did. We did baptize her. This lady who's sleeping on me now, Jean Balakovich, was baptized. I baptized her, and she's waking now. It was impossible for her to get into the water. So in the baptismal pool where we were before, she had the opportunity to sit on the stairs and sit down far enough so we could put her head under the water. But in her handicapped situation, she still wanted to do what the Lord had told her to do. And we praise the Lord for those who do what God has told them to do. But that will explain to you the words bapto and baptizo. One of the common mistakes about baptism is that they say, well, I want to be baptized like Jesus. Now listen very carefully, and I'm trying to go through this quickly so that you could get it. If you miss it, I can loan you these overheads. In the Old Testament, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 2, which we've studied, there were baptisms in Jewish activities. But we're concerned about what happens in the New Testament. The first one who introduced baptism was John the Baptist. But the Bible says, and I'm sorry I'm not turning these passages, I really would like to, but the time is would run away on us. Unto repentance. That's the one that he was asking the people to do. Asking the people of that day to say, I will identify with a righteous in Israel unto repentance. That was the only reason that John baptized. I will read one significant passage with you just now. The second one is Jesus. And his was to fulfill all righteousness. Now, you can't follow Jesus in baptism because he never had to get saved. He was perfect. So when people say, well, I want to follow Jesus in baptism. You can follow the Bible in baptism, but not Jesus, because he didn't have to be. He was a perfect Lamb of God. And he did to fulfill all righteousness. And I understand that to mean that he was qualifying himself as the Messiah. He was doing everything that was required of him as the Messiah. This unto repentance, this unto fulfill all righteousness. Now I'd like you to turn to Matthew 28, 19 and 20, please.
You'll notice the four verbs that are in that verse.
Having gone, disciple, the second verb there, which says to teach in your King James Version, really means to make a disciple. There are only two uses of that in the New Testament. To make a disciple means to get him saved. So when you go out, or having gone, you disciple somebody. Disciple does not mean to teach a Christian how to live. To disciple means to become a believer. After you've got somebody to become a believer, you baptize him. The main verb is this word to make a disciple. This is a participle, and baptize is a participle. Having gone, you make a disciple, and then you baptize him. I don't know why it is that a man doesn't want to be baptized when God says that's what you're supposed to do. Again, I say, if he said, go around North Campus 10 times, then you do it. But some people back off. Let me ask you, have you been baptized? I waited a long time. I was a teenager before I was baptized, but I was brought up in a Christian home. I should have known better. It's the first thing you want to do as a believer. And then the word teach, that word actually means to teach. To instruct somebody. This one means to make a disciple. To become a believer. This one means to teach somebody. And goodness, it says there to teach them all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And that'll take a lifetime. You will never learn everything you're supposed to know, but you are to learn what you should know. Let me ask you a question, dear brother and sister. What do you have to know before you're baptized? Well, you don't have to know all the details about pre-tribulation rapture or the seven dispensations. What you have to know is that I'm saved. I'm a believer. I trust Jesus as my Savior. I know that I'm on my way to glory. That's all you have to know. You, I would be certainly in agreement with those people who say, if you get saved in the morning, get baptized at night. Why not? If you're real. Now, in South Africa, when I worked among the Zulu people, that would never happen. Because a man might be have two wives. And the first question is, what are you going to do with the second wife? What's your attitude going to be? And there were different names. And Inkosikazi was the chief wife, the first wife. Abafazi or Umfazi was somebody, was another wife. And what do you do with the Abafazi? If you got Inkosikazi, okay. But if you got the Abafazi, now what are you going to do? There was another thing. What if a fellow drank Uchwala? He drank beer. He got drunk. You couldn't be baptized. And it was a very complex situation. If you couldn't be baptized, you couldn't have the Lord's Supper. My personal conviction is that only people who are baptized should take the Lord's Supper. Now, we don't make distinctions here. But the scriptures are quite clear. It says a baptized believer who comes to the table of the Lord. And we just slide over some of these things, which is a pain to those of us who know the Lord and know the book. But I hope you get the distinction. I'd like to read for you Acts chapter 19. This is a very interesting passage. It was brought to our attention recently by our brother Monty Mills. But what I want you to bring it to your attention in regard to baptism. I must hurry. Verse number 4. They were asked in verse number 3, were you baptized? Yes, unto John's baptism. Now we made a difference, you see. Unto repentance. And then verse 4 says, then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which would come after him, that is, on Christ. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's different. As is a believer, see? So you move from under repentance to this one down here to believe. You're baptized as a believer, as an obedient believer. Make the difference, my brother. Please, be an intelligent believer. Never say, I'm following Jesus in baptism. You're not following John either. You're following the Lord Jesus, or the Word of God that says, be baptized. It's an instruction from the Word of God. I'm going to skip a little bit here to get you to something that is extremely important. We made a distinction in our studies with these young people between real baptism and ritual baptism. Real baptism is 1 Corinthians 12:13, baptism by the Spirit of God. What we're going to practice today is ritual baptism. There's a difference. And one of the questions on the application for baptism is, do you know the difference between real baptism and ritual baptism? Ritual baptism is true of all believers. I'm sorry, real baptism is true of all believers. Ritual baptism is true of those who have been obedient to the Lord. This is water. Ritual baptism is something which is experimental. Real baptism is something which is positional. It's true of every believer. Don't mix this up, friend. The basic meaning of baptism is identification. It's based on 1 Corinthians chapter 10. They were all covered by the cloud. And you're identifying yourself with what God has done for you in real baptism. And now you're going to demonstrate it in the ritual baptism. I have one more, which I really already posed to you. Are you in the body of Christ? Are you a member of the body of Christ? Well, then you've been really baptized by the Spirit of God into the body. Have you been baptized as a believer? It determines your eternal destiny as a believer. It determines your present obedience. It's up to you. It's amazing that God puts up with us. I mean, disobedient believers. It's not true. A disobedient believer. But people are disobedient in all kinds of things. But I would like to emphasize this morning to you, my friend. If you're not obedient in baptism, what possibility are you going to be obedient in other things? Like this morning, I quoted from 1 Corinthians 16. On the first day of the week, get your money organized and give to the Lord. That's something you're supposed to do. Some people never do that. In our home, we have this disagreement that my wife says, well, you, whatever you want to give, I'm in agreement with you. Which I'm very grateful for. I've always wanted to be the CFO. But, you know, it's important that I tell my kids, even now, I tell them how much I give to the Lord's work. And I said, I try to give as much as I possibly can. It's a good thing that your family knows that you're involved. My dad used to give me a 25-cent piece to put in the offering, or a nickel or something like that, whatever he could afford. And I always knew that my dad was giving more money away than he was getting in sometimes. But I learned to give by my parental instruction like that. So, you know, there's always something for us to learn. That's why he says that one, having gone, make a disciple, baptize, teach, and keep teaching them. You men who are parents of children, it's your job to teach your children. I missed a lot of that because I traveled a lot, but my wife did. But when I was home, we used to read the Bible together. Yesterday, our youngest son, David, was here. And we sat down, we read Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. And then I explained to the children what that meant to me, what that meant. And that's what our job is, to teach. Well, I hope that you've been benefited from this morning. And that you know, if you're not baptized, come and see me after the service. We can arrange for that. If you're a believer, if you're not a believer, in the name of the Lord Jesus, get saved. Believe on Him. And then be ready. Let's have a word of prayer. We thank Thee, Lord, for this time together, and as we prepare to baptize these candidates, Lord, this is holy ground in which we stand. It's not the instrument of a horse trough which is really important. The important thing is that each one of them has a testimony to give of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank Thee for that. And we pray this morning, O God, that Thou would honor what they do in their testimony of obedience to the Lord. Help us to have listening ears and ready responses of a praise to the God whom we adore. Oh, Heavenly Father, make this a meaningful experience for Daniel Nkanga, for his sister Olivia, and for Anna Widgen, and for Chinya Ong. Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray that this may be a most wonderful experience as we wait before Thee. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus and with much, much thanksgiving. Amen. Now, dear friends, I know I'm not going in the water, but years ago, a lady by the name of Sular Davis, she did not believe that people went to the moon. But she was a wonderful believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And she said, Pastor, you need a gown. When you baptize people, you wear this gown. Now, that was given to me, I guess, 35 years ago. And I'm going to get it, and I'm going to stand on the outside. And Brother James Widgen, a faithful deacon, who has been so such a blessing to all of us, he will assist me. And so we're going to stand and sing, and Brother Dave is going to lead us on page 531. I know in whom I have believed. 531. And howsoever long it takes me to get ready, he will keep you singing of those verses.
You'll stand with me. Hymn 531. I know whom I have believed.
We want to get the children downstairs now, too.
I know not why God's wondrous grace to me He hath made known, nor why Christ in His boundless love redeemed me for His own. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know not how this saving faith to me He did impart, nor how believing in His word brought peace within my heart. But I know persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in Him. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know not when my Lord may come, at night or noonday fair, nor if I walk the veil with Him, nor meet Him in the air. But I know whom I have believed in, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day.
first verse again.
I know not why God's wondrous grace to me He hath made known, nor why Christ in His boundless love redeemed me for His own. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day.
Second verse.
I know not how this saving faith to me He did impart, nor how believing in His word brought peace within my heart. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day.
Thank you. You may be seated.
This is a wonderful privilege and opportunity we have today. And we have four candidates for baptism. And all of them have had instruction in my office. And I've spoken with the parents of the incongruous and also with Anna's mom and dad. And the only one I have not been able to contact is the Ongs, but they're off in Singapore. But I checked out. I had a lovely time with Jinya and Lim, you, on Friday night with my wife. And we had a wonderful time of instruction, prayer. In other words, we've done all we know how to be sure that these are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's their confession, not mine. I want that to be sure that you understand. And so you must also understand that they have written out an application. And on that application we've asked, how do you know you're saved, for example? They will tell you this morning. And also, can you lead a soul to Christ? We've asked them if they have dedicated their life to the Lord. We've asked them if they have a devotional time with the Lord. We've tried to do the best we know how. We all make mistakes. Nobody's perfect. Only one, our blessed Lord. So the focus is on Him. And He's worthy of all of our praise and our glory. So I'm going to ask us to have these... Betty, where are you? She's behind me. We have Daniel first, and then Anna. Oh. Who's the second one?
Olivia.
Olivia, yes. And then Anna?
And then Anna's the last.
Oh, she's the last, yes. Okay. Oh, yes, I remember now. Thank you. Okay. All right. Daniel, you come right up here, please. We stay away from the water. At this stage, you give your testimony, please.
Sure. Hi. First, I want to say that I am thankful to be here and I am ready to be baptized. I was born in a family where my parents were both Christians. And although where I grew up, there were many troubles, my mom always told me to keep my faith up. She gave me Bible verses. She gave us Bible verses. She had many plans for us to do. She even wanted to open a Bible school for kids to come and learn, but she wasn't able to do that. And so she try to do it with us, since you couldn't get a lot more people to do it. And that's basically where my Bible verse will come. I was saved about 7 years ago. I was still in Africa, but I wasn't exactly sure if I was saved until I came here. And Matt Postiff asked me questions since I came here. Until last year, I made sure that I had already told the Lord that I was saved. So I prayed again and to the Lord that I was and that of Him, and I knew that He came to die for my sin. My Bible verse is John 1:1-5, which is, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and life was the light of men. The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it."
Amen. Thank you. Praise the Lord. That's great. All right. Confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is my joy and privilege as your pastor to baptize you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Our second candidate is Olivia Nkanga, please.
Well, first I'm going to have to say that I'm going to read my Bible verses because I'm kind of nervous and I don't want to forget anything. But, as Daniel said, we grew up in a family where Mom always taught us about God. She always taught us that God was there and that we love Him and that He loves us and that we need to devote our lives to Him. And I guess I would, like Daniel would say, I mean, I didn't give my life to God exactly. I knew that God was there and I believed in Him. I knew that I knew exactly what God was, but I held myself back because I always felt as if I was unworthy of following God, of doing God's work. And so for a long time, I kept holding myself back because I kept thinking that God has already a lot of people and He doesn't need to have a kind of person like me. And so I didn't want to give my life to God. But then last year, I don't really know what happened. It was in April, and I was kind of stressed out. High school, I was kind of like, okay. And so I couldn't fall asleep. And it was like 12 or something, 12 at midnight. And I started changing the radio stations, and then there was this woman who was talking. And the first thing I heard her say was she was talking on the subject that I had been feeling. She was saying that she was explaining how she got saved and that she also had felt as if she wasn't worthy. And so she read Philippians 4:6-7, and it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And I guess that's when I told God that I would follow him, because I know that no matter what, I would always have my sin nature, and I can only do so much, and that I need him in my life. And for me, my personal Bible verses are in Psalm 13, 2 and 3, and 5 and 6. And it says, How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep of death. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me.
Michigan to do my bachelor's degree. But I never expected that my time here in the U.S. to be more profitable, for I received the gift of salvation by grace through faith in Christ. I grew up in a typical Chinese family in Singapore. My parents believed that there are many gods in this world, and as long as those gods answer their prayers, they are for real. Being brought up in such an environment, I was ignorant about the concept of religion, and thus I chose the easy way out by being a free thinker. I live with the philosophy that many truths exist, until Lemuel invited me to come to this church. I was moved by those beautiful hymns which portrays God's love for us, and touched by people I met in this church by their strong stand for God. I was awakened by Pastor Sack's sermon when I first came here. There's only one absolute truth in the Bible. Many different truths don't exist. 1 Corinthians 8, 5 and 6. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there's but one God, the Father of whom all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. I realized I was not right with God, lost and heading for hell. As I attended more church, Sunday worships and Bible studies, my eyes were opened to our wonderful Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Many thanks to Lemuel, Matt, Pastor and Mrs. Sex, and others in this church, I came to know and understand more about the Bible. I was convinced that the Bible is true and I need God. On September 18, I admitted I'm a sinner and I prayed to God to forgive my sins. Now I have accepted Jesus as my Savior. I believe that God has arranged for me to be baptized in this church on this very day. I praise God for what he has done in my life, leading me to lead a life based on his word. My Bible verse is Romans 5, 8 and 9. But God commanded his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath to him.
Amen. I don't see you saying amen over there, Lem. Thank you, dear.
know, this reminds me of the man who was here to baptize, and he had his wallet in his pocket. And so he said, "No, I'm going to take that wallet out." The pastor said, "No way, let's baptize that too." Well, Jinya, this is a most wonderful experience for us and for me personally, to know that God in His wonderful grace has saved you. Great joy to baptize you today. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's the second blessing, isn't it? All right, Anna, please. Anna Wisdom. We knew her before she was born. So it's been a long time.
Okay. I was saved on August 24th, 1990. I was 3.5 years old. During the summer of 90, my mom says I'd gone to Vacation Bible School and I've been asking some questions about getting saved, and I don't remember much of that, but on that particular day, my mom and I were at home and the radio was on. She was cleaning the house and there was a person who was, an evangelist, just giving a message. And he was talking to a group of young people, he said. And he said, "You know, do you know where you're going to go after you die? You know, if you die today, will you go to heaven?" And I was just listening, and I said, "You know, he's talking to young people. That means me." No, I think it was, like, college students. But I asked her mom, I said, "You know, am I going to go to heaven when I die?" And she explained to me that, you know, she would, because Jesus had died for her sins and that we all had sins and God wouldn't tolerate that in heaven. But Jesus was perfect and He died for our sins so that we could go to heaven if we believed on Him. And, I mean, I was really young at the time, but I definitely understood sin because, I mean, I did things that were wrong kind of often. And it worried me. Like, you know, if I did something that my parents would find out about, I'd get a spanking or whatever, but my parents didn't find out, and I would still think about it, you know, what's going to happen for this, because I did something wrong. So I understood that, and I was very relieved and thankful, and I asked Mom, you know, to pray with me, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior that day. The next day, I went and told my best friend what had happened. You know, I was super excited. You know, Jesus died for my sins, and I'm going to go to heaven when I die, and you need to do this too. It's such a big deal. And you might think, you know, you can wait, or maybe you want to do this on your deathbed, but you don't know if you're going to have one. You know, you might get hit in a car accident tomorrow. She didn't, but she did get saved that day as well, so that was wonderful. When I was 11 years old, I was sitting in a missions conference, and they were talking about dedicating your life to Christ, just being available to go wherever God wants you to go and to do what He wants you to do. And I was thinking, you know, I really want to do this, but I was actually praying, you know, "Lord, don't send me to Africa or Asia or any place that I think is scary. I don't want to stay in America. I don't want to go to Europe, maybe South America, but I don't want to go to the Amazon jungle and get eaten by mosquitoes." And then I realized that if I was going to give my life to Christ, I'd actually have to give it to Him, and not with, like, a list attached or whatever. And so I was praying, you know, "Lord, you know me, and you know you made me this way, and you know what I'm afraid of, and you know what I'm good at, and I just trust you to take care of me." I didn't say anything at that time because also I didn't see anybody else who was 11 years old dedicating their life to Christ. So I prayed that in my heart, and I said, "I'm going to wait, not tell anybody yet, but the next year at the missions conference, I went for it with my announcement." And it was after that I went on my first missions trip and all the other ones. And it's been such a blessing for me just to see, like, each time I learn more about myself and more about God and the church, and just how God's in control of everything. I certainly am not. And so I just thank the Lord for that. There's something I forgot to mention is, after I got saved when I was about 7 years old, I started wondering if I was really saved because I was really young at the time and I didn't know anybody who'd been saved when they were 3 and a half, and maybe there's something I didn't understand, or maybe I was just too young. So I prayed like every day, you know, Lord, I don't know if it counted yesterday, but today I really want to count, you know, and I do believe in you and I want you to be my Savior. And I did that for a long time, but I know I'm saved, and I know I was saved that first day because I did understand the gospel. Mm-hmm. And I accepted Jesus into my heart, and he came. My verse is John 3:36. He believes in the name of the Son has life, and he believes not has not life, but the wrath of God abides in him.
God bless you. Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you. This is one you don't want to lose, though. Anna Widget, on the basis of your confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is our joy and privilege, as I as your pastor and your father as this deacon in this church, baptize you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is wonderful. I tell you, I wish you could do it every day. Thank you very much, Brother James. All of you here, people standing by to listen. We need to sing one last song. I think it's only question with it. Yes. What number is it, brother?
541.
541. Let's stand and sing. Thank you.
Let's sing.
Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now.
He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now. For Jesus shed his precious blood, rich blessing to be sold, plunge now into the crimson blood that washes white as snow. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now. Yes, Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you into rest. Believe in him without delay, and you are fully blessed. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you,
He will save you now.
We can help anyone after the meeting about being saved or the baptism. Please do not hesitate to speak with us or to Pastor Matt. We certainly are here to help you to the glory and praise of our blessed God. Just want to also remind you that a year ago today, we had a little child born into this church family, and David Postiff is a year old today. And so you can congratulate his father. I guess he's not feeling too well. He's had too much cake and ice cream last night. Shall we close in a word of prayer, please? We thank thee, dear Heavenly Father, for thy Son, the Lord Jesus, and the great joy that has come to our hearts as we've witnessed the testimony of Daniel and of Olivia and of Jinya and also of Anna. Lord, we praise thee and thank thee. I thank thee for the facilities that we have here, that we can say we can baptize somebody in the way which we understand the Bible to teach, so that people can be obedient to the Lord. God, we pray for these young people. Surround them with thy care and love and blessing. And grant to us, Lord, who are older in the Lord and who have known Christ for a long time, to encourage them, to support them, to pray for them. And we ask, Lord, that if there are others amongst us who yet have been disobedient to this matter of baptism, that they will seek us out and desire to take a stand for the Lord just as quickly as possible. Thank thee, Lord. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Lord, we love thee, and we want to love thee all the way until we see thee face to face. So keep us today and until we see the Lord face to face. We ask in his precious and worthy and lovely name with much, much thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, please.